And before I go any further, I want to lay out a disclaimer and say that this message has nothing to do with the doctrinal topic of faith versus works and our salvation. I just want to be clear on that point, so don't misread that. Speaking of reading, I have been reading a book called Rediscover Jesus by a gentleman named Matthew Kelly. He's got a number of other books. This is the first one I've read of his. Over the last few years, especially since I began speaking, I started reading other books, just general Christianity. I know some of the other, Sam and Dr. Moore, I think years ago, shared some different books, apologetics and so forth. But I kind of opened up to listening to other people just to get a contrasting opinion in some cases on something doctrinal, to try to understand where they come from, which I think has improved my understanding of our own as well, as well as kind of preparing to give an answer, if you will. But this one is not really one of those of doctrinal. It was more of a, it's one I picked up years ago and have finally gotten to it. I do recommend it because it's one of those I consider food for thought. It gives me food for thought. Rediscover Jesus by Matthew Kelly. Its theme is, he bills it as the invitation that is Jesus. So I think that's, there's no doctrinal issue per se there, but I think the term invitation seems fitting to all of us. We are by no means forced to follow Jesus Christ. We are, in that sense, invited and called by the Father, as Scripture says. This book has short chapters, which also makes it nice and digestible in chunks in a busy life, such as the modern life. But I have found that it has challenged some of my assumptions about me and the way I live my life, my norms, my habits, and even my self-perception. So, again, I recommend it. It's helped me to compare my life and my routine to the example of Jesus himself. And in particular, there's chapter 19, which really spoke to me. Its title is Miracles Abound, with a subheading of You Are Surrounded by Miracles. And ultimately, the premise of this chapter is to bring the miracle of his love to others, of Christ's love to others. So really, again, diving into how we go about our day-to-day and how we interact with our fellow man. He opens by citing a few of the numerous examples that Jesus performed, as cited in the Gospels. And we'll come back to this book a little bit later, but I just wanted to kind of set that as a foundation. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 14. I cheated. I already have mine open, so I'll pause for just a second. John chapter 14. This chapter continues Jesus' dialogue with his disciples while still a man here on earth in the times leading up to his departure, as he called it. And in verse 1, John 14 verse 1, we read, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And that, even for the children in here, that probably sounds very familiar, those verses, because it's Hymn 102, God Speaks to Us, draws from that verse. But skipping down to verses 9, Jesus replied to Philip. So in a way, this verse spoke to me that way as well. Just kind of jumped out at me, just kind of as a funny little anecdote there. But skip on down to verse 12, and we read what I cited in the beginning, which is, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Of course, he was speaking to the disciples there, but two questions. When he says, "he who believes in me," who is he referring to? And we'll get to that in a moment. The second question is, what works is he referring to? You know, what are those works? So, he who believes in me, let's tackle that first. Who is he referring to? Of course, again, he was speaking to the disciples. He didn't say, you address them. He was speaking to them, but not necessarily referring just to them. He clearly was working with them and bringing them along, but he didn't say, "you who believe in me." He said, "he," more of a general sense of who, anyone who believes in him. So let's tackle a few terminology items here. Believes, what did that mean? Believes. So in the concordance, Strong's concordance of the Greek, it's G4100, which is to have faith in, or to entrust So we have faith in Jesus Christ and trust in Him, what He has said and what He has promised, and that He is who He says He is. So that's one facet. I want to make sure believes is covered. Now, again, who is He? He who believes is the He. So let's talk about believes. So if you would turn to Mark chapter 16, and specifically verses 14 through 18. Also known as the Great Commission. This context here is in Christ's, after His death and resurrection and His appearance to them. He says in 14, or it says, "Later He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen." Verse 15, "And He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" And in verse 16 is a key, "He who believes," which I note is again concordance G4100 again for the Greek, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he does not believe will be condemned." So again, revisiting "he who believes," who are we talking about? I think it's reasonable to assert that although he's speaking to the disciples, he's not just referring to the disciples when he says "he." He's referring to all future people who believe and have faith in Jesus Christ. Of course, that includes those of us sitting here today. Key point. So, number two, so that answers the first question of "he who believes in me." The second question is "what works?" Remember it said, Christ said, "greater works than thee is he will do." I put an extraneous "is" in there. Let me try again. "Greater works than these he will do." So again, I ask, what works will we as believers do? So again, terminology, the term "greater" in context there in the Greek is G3187, which is elder. So in terms of persons, there might be an elder, so it's not quite the context here. Or just "greater," "greatest," or "more," which that seems to jive a little bit more with our general vernacular of "greater." So greater works. So greater, like we think of it today, as well as maybe more works. And then the other half of that, works. The term "works" is G2041 in the concordance, which is very much aligned to what I think we think of in terms of works. It's an act, a deed, possibly a labor or work. So one might ask that, Jesus performed many miracles on His time on earth. Are we to perform miracles? I hope not, because if so, I'm not doing it right. Possibly a miracle of constraining my own self-desires and turning around some of my silliness, but some might call that a miracle, possibly my mom, my wife, but we won't go there. We won't give her the floor right now. You're welcome to talk to her afterwards. But, I sure hope that I'm not expected to perform miracles. So in that regard, the acts that we perform might not be miracles, but yet there is some expectation from Christ Himself that we as believers will perform some work. So could it mean that He meant, when we say greater works, since I'm not going to overachieve Him, could it be that He meant greater in terms of more, in the aggregate, the body of Christ that we represent and many others through the ages, and that collectively, through those ages, we would do those good works in His name? So today, we are proclaiming the gospel in the work, the collective work of United Church of God. But individually, we, with our neighbors, our friends, our family, and even, honestly, people that we don't know, helping our fellow man. I think Christ obviously reached out to all kinds of people and helped them and related with them. Put another way, exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit. We know in Galatians the many fruits of the Spirit really pertain to our interactions with our fellow man. So I think that is likely. It's not a conclusive proof, but again, there is an expectation that we will perform works and even greater works. So it's certainly worth contemplating what he meant there. So returning to the book that I mentioned a few moments ago, Rediscovering Jesus by Matthew Kelly, in that chapter 19, he tells a story, a brief story of a friend of his who had a difficult life, a very difficult life, full of suffering. And he had noticed that that friend was, you know, anytime at a social gathering, he was with what he considered the most unlikely person. And so he conferred with his friend and seeked him and learns that the friend feels like, because of the suffering that he has endured, he's able to, I guess maybe a little spidey sense, to identify others who are suffering. And so he purposefully seeks them out to try to see what he can do to help them. And the author goes on to contrast that behavior. He clearly was impacted by this friend of his and that behavior. He goes on to contrast this behavior with most of our society, where we know, you know, I don't know about you, I'll confess, I enter a large room, especially the introvert that I am at core, I'm going to go and draw close to anybody that I might recognize. Or somebody, maybe they reach out to me. That's kind of how my wife met me. She reached out to me, and then I, you know, would visit and get to know her a little bit. I'm not one to just go and strike up a conversation with a stranger. But his point is, we do things out of our own self-motivation, right? For our comfort level, or possibly, oh, there's someone that I know who's of great stature or great fame, great money, whatever. So there's something in it for me to rub elbows with this guy, or some other selfish reason like that. Whereas, contrast starkly with the model that Jesus set for us, where he reached out to people in need. He went out of his way to seek people in need. So Mr. Kelly, you know, the author, his assertion is that his friend is participating in everyday miracles today, doing those greater works by virtue of following the example of Christ. Now, everyday miracles, that was his term, not mine. Clearly, it also was not Jesus' mandate that we perform miracles. But that's the author's assertion, his way of putting and valuing the contribution that his friend has to these other people in their lives. So we'll leave that. Whether it's miracles, it's a matter of discussion and even debate. But Christ did say, again, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. So on that, I'll close with a question I think we all would be worthwhile to ask of ourselves. As believers in Jesus Christ, are we fulfilling his own expectations for us?